So Psalm 119, verses 89 to 96. Every verse starting with the letter Lamed, the letter L. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness is unto all generations. You have established the earth, and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delights, I should then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for with them you have quickened me. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but your commandment is exceeding broad.
Amen.
We pray the Lord bless his word to us tonight. Lord, bless your word. Speak to us, we pray. This is your living word. Lord, as we've read tonight, it's established in heaven. Speak to us, we pray. Oh, Lord, may it have a foundation in our hearts and in our thoughts, in our lives, from day to day. In Jesus' name. Amen. But really, the idea as we're looking through this psalm and through this particular section of the psalm, Lamed, the idea that comes across is that God's word is absolutely dependable and completely indispensable.
Yes.
We need it totally. We can't do without it. Is that your experience?
Amen.
Or do you get by on your own ideas? You've got to get back to the word of God. And what a great assurance it starts with. What a foundation this section starts with. And right at the start there, this is the first word in Hebrew. Forever.
Yes. Forever.
Le'olam. We've come across that word olam before. It's to do with what is universal. It's to do with what is infinite. It's beyond the vanishing point. I've said that before. It's further than we can see. It's more than we can understand. It's eternal. And forever. The Bible says that God inhabits eternity. But forever. To eternity and beyond. What was his name? What was his name? To infinity and beyond.
Buzz Lightyear.
To eternity and beyond. Beyond our ability to see. Beyond our ability to perceive. Forever. O Jehovah. It's not a title, it's a name. O Jehovah. Your word is settled. It is set up. It is established in the heavens. It's Hashamayim. It's in the heavens. Praise the Lord. His word is there. Forever. Forever, from our point of view in time, forever goes both ways. Back, forward. But God is there all the time. Well, no, we can't even say all the time, can we? God's there, inhabiting eternity.
That's right.
Further than we can see. Further than we can take in. Why is this important? Because God's word is established in the heavens. And it's been so forever and will be forever.
Yes.
We're looking from the point of view of time now.
Yes.
It can't be changed.
That's right.
Amen.
It's unmovable. It's unchangeable. It's incorruptible. Yes. It's tamper-proof. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It is sure. It is steadfast. Man cannot alter it.
That's right.
Oh, they try.
Yes.
But you can't alter the word of God. Demons can't corrupt it. Satan has no access to it. Hallelujah. Angelic hosts even cannot add or take away from it. Therefore, we can live by it. Because it is totally, 100% dependable. And always will be. Always has been. Always will be. It will never fail. And God has given us, from heaven, his written word.
Yes.
It's from heaven. It's unchangeable. It says your faithfulness is that all generations. It starts off with the generations. And the Hebrew actually says, to generation and generation, which has been interpreted into unto all generations.
Yes.
But the Hebrew says, to generation and generation. He goes on, to generation and generation. Generation after generation. Age to age. To generation and generation.
Yes.
God's faithfulness is to all. And that faithfulness is revealed in his word. He will never depart from his word.
That's right.
Do you remember we looked at Psalm 78 the other week on a Sunday? Psalm 78, it's a masculine psalm, which means it's a psalm for instruction. In Psalm 78, in verses 4 and 6, it says this, and it was, and it should be, and it should continue to be, a challenge to us.
Yes.
Verse 4, we will not hide them from their children. We will not hide it from their children. We're going to speak the word, the law of God, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us, and we're not going to hold it, we're not going to hide it from their children, showing to the generation to come these three things, the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Verse 6, it says, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments.
Yeah.
As we live our lives in this Christian faith, in the Word of God, we have got a responsibility to show to the upcoming generation, the next generation. Things of the Lord, you see, that's why things have cooled off over the years, because it's not been passed on from generation to generation. We have a generation now that doesn't know the blessing of revival times, when the Spirit of God was moving in great power in this country. What have they got? They've got an organised religion. They've got entertainment from the front. They need to know the power of God and the Word of God. And it's for us to show and demonstrate these things, to show them these things, to pass on from generation to generation. Not just in word, not just by instruction of mouth, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, said Paul. That people might know there's a God who saves. There's a God who heals. There's a God who sets free. There's a God who lifts every burden. Oh, if only we could know that experience today. We can.
Yes.
And pass it on to the next generation. We will not hide it. We will show that to generation after generation. This generation today, this young generation today, they need to know what Malachi said. Malachi said this. Well, Malachi is reporting the words of God, actually. Let's get it straight. Malachi is reporting the words of God. I am the Lord, I change not. That's important. Hebrews chapter 13 says about Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, men try to change things, and the way things have gone, men have changed things. Human beings have changed things, the way the things are presented. There is a deterioration. Whenever man gets hold of things and tries to mould it and shape it into something more appealing and such like, it deteriorates.
Yes.
It loses its power that's from God, because man has tried to help it along, making it a bit different. Man always adds to and takes away from.
Yes.
And changes the word of God from generation to generation. What does it say? God is faithful.
Amen.
Thy faithfulness from generation to generation. And there's a little reminder here. There's a little example. You have established the earth and it abides. It remains. It stands firm. What God establishes stands firm.
Right.
When men get hold of the word of God and try to improve it, make it different, it doesn't stand. Only God's word stands firm. His word is established and it's forever. It's settled in heaven.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
When you're reading your Bible, make sure you're reading the Bible that's from heaven, the word of God that's from heaven. We don't want any of these contaminated, corrupted modern versions. We want what comes from God. And in verse 91, the first word in the sentence there is according to your ordinances.
Yes.
According to your ordinances, mishpat. According to your ordinances. A mishpat is a sentence, a judicial sentence, or a decree. And God has decreed the truths that we know in the word of God. According to your decrees, they continue. What continues? The earth that the Lord has established. Everything that God has established continues today. What God does is forever. What man does perishes. We've got to get hold of the eternal. We've got to get hold of that which is forever, which is from God. Praise the Lord. What God has done, what God has spoken, what God has given us his law, it continues today. For all these things, the earth and his creation, they're his servants. They do what he says. They obey his word. Or that we might obey his word too. Praise the Lord. You know, in Jeremiah 33 and verses 24 to 26, there's an interesting thing here. That God brings out concerning his faithfulness to what he has said and provided and done with his people Israel. Mankind has altered it today.
Right.
Mankind has said God's changed his mind. God is not bothered with them anymore. Listen, Jeremiah 33, verses 24 to 26. Do you not consider what this people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord has chosen, he has even cast them off. The whole nation of Israel, Judah, Israel. God has cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus says the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob, and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return, and I will have mercy on them. Modern theologians have got this replacement theology, some of them.
Yes.
It says God has finished with Israel, he's now dealing with the church.
Yeah.
God says, no, I haven't. How dare you say that?
Not according to Romans 11, eh?
Not according to Jeremiah either. God says, I will have mercy on them. He's not finished with them yet.
That's right.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. You see, God's decrees are sure. Modern man says, no, God's finished with that. That didn't work. He's transferred it all over to the church. What a lot of rubbish. It's not what the Bible says.
Yeah.
God's decrees, God's promises are sure and steadfast.
Amen.
We're not going to live our Christian lives confidently and in the blessing of the Lord unless we can be sure that God's promises are yes and amen. And they're yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
He will never fail. His word is settled in heaven. Bless the Lord. Has been from eternity.
Amen.
Will be for eternity. And verse 92. Unless your law. And the word, that is the first word in Hebrew as well. Unless your law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. If your law had not been my delights, I should have perished in my affliction. This is a personal testimony now.
Yes.
From the psalmist. That if God's law had not been steadfast, and if he had not delighted himself in that law, he would have perished. He'd come to the place where there was provision, where there was life, where there was deliverance in the word of God. Unless, were it not that, your law had been my delights. Oh, it's good to delight yourself in the word of God, you know.
Amen.
I should have perished in my affliction. Do you remember when we looked at some earlier verses in Psalm 119? The psalmist was talking about his afflictions, the problems and difficulties in life, things that had come upon him that were not nice. In verse 67 it says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. He came to see that there was a blessing even in the afflictions that he'd been through.
Yes.
He'd been through afflictions, but if he hadn't gone through those afflictions, he would have been off on a different course. People don't see it today. They want to be free to do what they want to do. And the psalmist said, but if you hadn't afflicted me, Lord, I'd have been like the rest of them, going, doing what I wanted to do. But my delights are in your law.
Amen.
I want to do what you say, Lord. Hallelujah. And in verse 71, same Psalm 119, Psalm 71, verse 71, he said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes.
Yes.
Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that you in faithfulness have afflicted me. Verse 77, let your tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for your law is my delight.
Yes.
He delights in the law of God. It shows him the reasons. It doesn't say, well, there's the easy path. How did you miss that? It says there's a reason for your afflictions.
Yes.
They're doing you good.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And if we go back even to verses 49 and 50. Remember the word unto your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. For your word has made me alive.
Yes.
I may be going through difficult times, but I'm alive.
Yes.
In the Lord.
Right.
Even rejoicing.
Yes.
In the difficult times. And Psalm 124. That's a bit later on. This is what it says. I'll read the whole psalm. We've got plenty of time. Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord, here it is, it's unless. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quickly when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who has made heaven and earth.
Glory.
If it had not been the Lord, unless he had been with us.
Yes.
Oh, your testimonies, Lord. Your word. It is tremendous. So it moves on in verse 93. I will never forget. Because he had the law of God to delight in and to trust him, he didn't perish in the hard times and the difficult times. He got through, he got the victory. And I will never forget your precepts, those things that you have decreed, those things that you have declared that you can apply to life. Those precepts, I have sought your precepts. I will never forget your precepts, for with them you have made me alive. Oh, what a salvation.
Yes.
What God does is forever. What a salvation. They've made me alive. I'm yours, he says. Or actually, put it the other way round in Hebrew. Yours I am.
Yes.
God first. Yours I am. Oh, for such a cry from us. Day by day. Every day. Lord, beginning of every day. What a prayer. Lord, I'm yours. Hallelujah. Amen. How are you going to use me today? What can I do today? Lord, I've got these problems today. Well, what's going to happen about those if you've got some problems and difficulties? Is there our afflictions?
Yes.
Lord, teach me. Show me. Lord, I'm yours. And so he says, save me. Save me. Deliver me. Hallelujah. Give me the victory, Lord. Hallelujah. I was looking at this word, the Hebrew word, in the text there. Of save me. It's hoshieni. Hoshieni.
Yeah.
You know, there's an Aramaic word in the New Testament.
Yeah, yeah.
When Jesus came to Jerusalem, they cried out, Hosanna!
Save us.
Save us. Save now.
Amen.
And that's what the psalmist is crying out.
Yeah.
Save me.
Yes.
That's something we can cry all the time, you know. You say, I'm saved. Yeah. And the Lord is saving you all the time.
Yeah.
It's a work of salvation that goes on through our whole lives.
Amen. Being saved.
There's a chorus, as the Hebrew used to sing. Jesus saves me now. Jesus saves me now. Jesus saves me all the time. Jesus saves me now.
Yeah.
There's a salvation that goes on. Save me. He wants the victory. He wants the victory. He says, Lord, I'm yours. Save me. For I have sought. I look for your precepts.
Yes.
What you've got to show me. The way you're going to point me. The direction they're going to point me in. I need your word, Lord. Oh, Lord, verse 95. Oh, Lord. It starts off in Hebrew with, for me, the wicked have waited. As far as I'm concerned, as far as me is concerned, the wicked have been waiting for me. They want to make my life a misery. They're against me all the time. They want to destroy me. He said, but I have considered your testimonies.
Yes.
I've considered the record of what you have declared and what you have done.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. For me, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me. In the New Testament, it says that we're wrestling, not against flesh and blood, principalities, powers,
yeah.
Spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a battle going on. The wicked are there. Not just wicked people in this world, but the wickedness that is in the heavenlies,
yeah,
the heavenly places.
Spirits.
It's a battle going on. We're wrestling, it says, not against flesh and blood, but against those things. And it's a battle, it seems to me, that doesn't exist in some new forms of Christianity. There's no battle. Life's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, life is wonderful, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We can do what we want, go where we want, enjoy everything. There's no need to be upset. There's no need to be in any struggles. Well, there's a battle on.
Yeah.
There's a battle on. You see, modern Christianity has developed a form, some forms of modern Christianity have developed a form of lovely, suit everybody religion.
Yes.
Pick and choose what you want. And there's no battle. There's no problem.
Yeah.
You know, we can rejoice all the time. We can rejoice in victory all the time. But let's be aware,
yeah,
there's a battle on. And we're in that battle.
Yeah.
We don't have to go around with gloomy long faces. But we need to know that there's a battle. For me, says the psalmist, the wicked are against me. They're all around me and they're against me. They want to destroy me. But I'm hanging on to your testimonies, Lord, what you've done and what you can do for me. You'll bring me through. He's trusting the Lord. Where do we turn? Considering the testimonies. That word, consider the testimonies. Consider. It's an idea of discerning. One of the translations that's given, or one of the interpretations that's given of the word, is to separate, to distinguish.
Distinguish.
It reminded me of what Frank was saying about 1 Timothy 2:15, where Paul was encouraging Timothy that he should be one that rightly divides the word of truth.
Yes.
We've got to consider, we've got to know what God's word is saying, and what God has given to us, his testimonies, the record of his word.
Yes.
And of what he has done and what he will do. I've seen all completeness, says the psalmist. I've seen all completeness. I've seen an end of all perfection. I've seen perfection, completeness in what the Lord has done in my life, to the end, to the edges, to the frontier, to the borders. But you know, that's as far as we can see. The borders.
Yeah.
We've got to get this eternal vision as well. The Ha'olam.
Yes.
The eternal. Seeing beyond where the vision can't see. We can only do that by faith. He said, I've seen an end of all perfection. I've seen much of the borders. It's almost as if you can't show me anymore, Lord. I've seen it all. But then he says, but your commandments, your mitzvot, your commandments are exceeding broad.
Yes.
Exceeding broad. What's he mean by that? You think you can see all that I've done? My commandments are broader than that.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. They go further than that, beyond where you can see. So the psalmist is saying, Lord, I've seen an end of all perfection, of all completeness. I've seen it right to the borders. I've seen people's lives full of it. But your commandment is exceeding broad, broader than I can take in.
Yeah.
God is able, it says in Ephesians, part of a prayer that's in Ephesians chapter 3.
Yeah.
That God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we think or ask or think, according to the power that is working in us.
Yes.
And we should never forget that last little phrase.
Power. Amen.
He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Wow, Lord, according to the power that is working in us.
Yes.
It's available. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's more than we can see. We might think we can see right to the edge and the fullness of all that God is doing. No, you've only seen a fraction of it. God's commands are exceeding broad. God's word is exceeding broad. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask God think. Could you put that hymn up, Norman, please? And I'll just conclude with this as a concluding thought of the greatness of God's love for us. He gives more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sends more strength when the labours increase. To added affliction, he adds his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit.
Glory.
His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. The psalmist thought he could see the boundary of it all. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth
again.
And giveth again.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.